Ephesians chapter 5, I want to visit a familiar text, and then I want to do a little explaining tonight that might be a little bit different than the usual message on this subject. But the Bible says in verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter number 5, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Notice we are told to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to talk to you tonight about that subject. What does it really mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And I want to show you, I think, three different ways that the filling of the Holy Ghost has been manifested in people's lives and in our lives, and maybe even correct a little bit some things maybe I've even said in the past about it. Sometimes we will parrot things that others have said, especially the things that sound really catchy. And we got to be careful about those things. I know that I've heard people say in the past, and you've heard people say in the past, and I've said this in the past, that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not us getting more of the Holy Ghost, but it's the Holy Ghost getting more of us. And usually right about there we say amen because it really sounds good and it really sounds catchy. And I think there is some truth in that statement. But I think it might even cover up another biblical truth and maybe keep us away from a blessing. I believe there's three biblical examples or definitions of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to just go over these with you tonight and share them with you and hopefully just kind of maybe broaden a little bit our definition of what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Number one, the filling of the Holy Ghost in the Bible is often a one-time event that is the highlight of a person's life. It is often a one-time event that is the highlight of a person's life. I think there's many, many examples in the Bible that are given to us that state that. For instance, it is said of Elizabeth in Luke 1 and verse number 41, it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, I believe she lived a life where she was prepared to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't think she planned that. I think it's just something that came on her at that moment to fulfill a particular event in God's plan and in God's work that God needed her to be there to fulfill it. I think some of you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit would confess that there have been times where you were filled with the Holy Spirit unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. Perhaps you were in a situation where you can't really say you were begging to be filled with the Spirit or anything like that, but you were maybe witnessing to somebody, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came upon you and started giving you verses and illustrations and answers to questions, and that's been my experience and some of yours, where you were not prepared for it, and the Holy Ghost started grabbing verses of Scripture you learned 15 years ago that you hadn't thought about and came to you, and you began to answer those questions, and you left there going, "Wow. Wow, that was quite an event. That was quite an experience." And you didn't go into your day planning on that happening. That was just something that happened, an event in your life that happened at that moment to fulfill God's plan and God's work in another person. There's many examples, I think, of this in the Bible. Think of Zacharias, Luke 1, verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." I think the day of Pentecost was a day. I know there was a lot of preparation that went into the day of Pentecost, and I don't want to make light of that preparation. God does use a prepared people. But it says, as they were just approaching the day of Pentecost, it wasn't 41 days after Christ ascended into heaven, or 42, or 43, or 44, or 45, but it was on that 50th day, where it says in Acts 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you have listed in your Bible 16 different dialects or languages that they spoke, and I don't really think a one of them was prepared to do that. I think it was just a sudden work of the Holy Ghost where God needed some human beings to fill and to use to bring about His plan and His event and His work at that moment. And so sometimes the filling of the Spirit is an event that takes place in a person's life, a prepared person, but not one where they really, really planned on it. Now, I know a lot of preachers, and I hope teachers, Sunday school teachers, whatever, bus workers, I hope you plan on being filled with the Spirit as your ministry. But there are other times where in God's work, a word that's fitly spoken comes from the Holy Ghost. And you can say something to somebody that powerfully affects their life. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, it says this, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, ye rulers and people of Israel and elders, and he went on to preach the word, and many were saved that day. Acts 4 verse 31, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. I really doubt whether Stephen planned on this Holy Spirit experience, but it says in Acts 7 and verse number 55, as he was being stoned to death, it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him and dragged him out of the city, and they stoned him to death. Well, I kind of don't think Stephen was really planning on that being a Holy Spirit filling experience in his life. I don't think he went into life saying, you know, I'm going to get stoned to death here by the end of the day. Holy Spirit, fill me. But it was just something that came upon a person so that God's work and God's plan could be accomplished through that person. Paul, I don't think, was seeking it when it says of him in Acts 9 and verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto me and thee in the way that thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, it wasn't so much Saul's doing at that moment, it was God's doing. I think one of the best examples of this is way back in the Old Testament where Samuel prophesied of the first king of Israel, Saul, and said this in verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come upon thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it has become a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made it into prophesying, he came to the high place. I doubt if Saul spent 1 minute of his life preparing for that moment. Now here's the danger about this first point. The filling of the Spirit often manifests itself, number one, as a one-time event that is the highlight of a person's life to bring about a particular event in God's plan or work. Now, the danger of this is in our sometimes human pride when we want to take the credit for what God has done. And another danger about these events, and I hope they should happen to all of us. There should be times where just in the course of a normal day in our life, we happen to cross paths with somebody and a conversation busts out and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes upon us and we have the right answers and we have the right testimony or we're at a family reunion and we say the right thing that affects a person or we happen to be submitted to God and we're serving God in some capacity, junior church and Sunday school or preaching and God says, I'm going to change the whole plan here. We're going to take your lesson and scrap it and something else comes up and you teach that in your class or in a prison or nursing home or something and then you leave and say, wow, where did that come from? But the danger of this right here is how many people rely on this and go back to this and think it was maybe some kind of favor on them rather than an act of God. And once in a while you'll hear somebody and you get to talking or fellowship with them, oh yeah, and they'll say, yeah, I remember back in 1984 when the Spirit of God came on me and I was in a group of whatever teenagers and God started giving me the words to say and they got saved and it was a glorious thing. Yeah, that's great, but it's 2009 now. 2009. Have we been experiencing times where the Holy Ghost is still coming upon us and moving on us? The text we read earlier, be filled with the Holy Spirit, is in the connotation of a constant filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for these experiences. I remember some myself where you just seem like you're out of yourself and some greater power comes over you and it does. And you say the right word, or your prayer powerfully moves some situation, or somebody gets saved, or your ministry just seems to have a special anointing for that moment in your class, or you know, and there's times maybe I'm sure the ladies that have gone to Hope Vale the last 12 years or however many years it is, I'm sure they can remember very, very special Monday nights that were unique from others. Boy, God showed up. And it was an event. I remember the camp meeting years and years ago when we had the youth. We used to bring the youth in, and one night we had about 700-800 people underneath the big top down here at Old Time Baptist Church. And some guy got up and started singing. Some pastor, he just started singing wonderful gospel songs. And while he was singing, some pastor's child come down, some teenager came down and said, I need to get saved. Well, somebody counseled with him and somebody else came and somebody else came. I forgot how many youth were saved that night. It was like a one-time event that we experienced. And the preacher, John Jenkins, was sitting there saying, I don't even think I need to preach tonight. And that guy sang a second song and a third song and a fourth song and a fifth song and a sixth song. And he just kept singing and singing and singing very, very humbly, very meekly, very good godly songs. And people started flooding the altars. People started getting right with each other. I remember that night, Americans getting right with Canadians. Feeling so under conviction about what they had said about Canadians or what they had said about Americans and apologizing over that nationalistic pride. There was a meeting I'll never forget. And I was just up on the platform waiting to introduce the speaker, do some other things, and things were just breaking out. That was a wonderful thing. There's times where the filling of the Holy Spirit, I think, has nothing to do with us. It's an act of God. And we can't get proud about those things. And you can't live in the past and say, oh, yeah, I remember one time when I was filled with the Spirit. You know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Okay, what about today? It's wonderful when these things happen. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is manifested as a one-time event. It becomes one of the highlights of a person's life. Saul, what happened to that guy after this? I mean, what a mess he became. But here we see him filled with the Spirit and prophesying with the prophets. Just because you were filled with the Spirit in the past doesn't mean you're not going to be a mess in the future. The Bible says, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Constantly pursue the filling of the Spirit. Saul ended up so far from God, God said, I'm not even going to speak to you anymore. So don't live, I mean, enjoy those experiences you've had in the past, but don't live there. Now I want to say number two, the filling of the Spirit is a measure or supply of the Spirit's power given in greater portion. Number two, the filling of the Spirit is a measure or supply of the Spirit's power in greater proportion. See, this is where the cute little saying that I said earlier, I want to bring into question a little bit tonight, and I said it myself, where people say, well, you know, you don't get, you got all the Holy Spirit when you got saved. And the filling of the Spirit is not getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of you. And I've said that myself. I've parroted that. It really sounds cute. It really sounds accurate. But I do believe there is such a thing as getting a greater measure or supply of the Spirit's power in greater proportion in our lives. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is a person, and He indwells every single believing sinner. The moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit, I could give you many verses on this tonight, the Holy Spirit comes inside of your body. And He stays in your body until the redemption of the purchase price, the purchase possession. I mean, we are saved and we are eternally secured. He is the earnest. He is the seal of our salvation. And so, people, I don't like that phrase, once saved, always saved. People, it's become very negative in its connotation. They say, you believe once saved, always saved? I don't even like the way they ask the question. I like to say, this is what I believe. I believe that when a person has been truly born again of God's Holy Spirit into God's family, that person is His child forever. And they are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the down payment. And brethren, from the moment you believed on Jesus Christ, that moment that God's Holy Spirit came inside of your body, and He is there for the rest of your existence. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'll get to that in a minute. But even though you got the Holy Spirit, there is Scripture that seems to indicate that the Holy Spirit is given to us in a measure of supply. When Elijah was ready to be taken off into the chariots of fire, off into to be with the Lord, it says he was translated. Elijah was following him around, and Elijah said, ask what you want. And Elijah said, I want a double portion of the Spirit that has abided upon you. That's what he said, a double portion. He says, I want more. I want more. And I don't know if it's coincidental or not, but you check out Elijah's ministry. And God wrought twice as many miracles through him. They're recorded in the Bible. Then we read in Elijah 8 and 16. And you can document those if you'll study the book of 1 and 2 Kings. I don't know if that's coincidental or not, but he prayed for a double portion, and God granted it. And Elijah said, now that's a hard thing, but it's not an impossible thing. And so we ought to take that truth into the New Testament and realize it's possible to have a greater portion of God's Holy Spirit, and I believe we would mean in greater proportion His power. His power. It says this about this subject in John 3 and verse 34. It says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, I don't want to make too much out of this or read between the lines, but it says God give, it's talking about Jesus. It says God does not give the Spirit by measure unto him, which would seem to indicate he gives the Spirit by measure unto us. And again, I know he's a person, but there's certain emblems that represent him, such as oil. And our need to be anointed with fresh oil. And our need to be filled. Why would he say be filled with the Holy Spirit? And so there's such a thing, I think, as a measure of the Holy Ghost. In Philippians 1 and verse 19, it says, for I know that this shall turn to my deliverance or salvation from prison, to your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You talked about a particular supply. I think when you think of these verses and what Elijah prayed for in the Old Testament, a double portion is what Jesus meant when he said to us in Luke 11, verse 13, he said these words, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him?" I believe he was saying that there is a measure and a supply of a greater portion of the Spirit of God and his power if we will just ask and ask and ask and ask him. So I don't think we all, I mean, isn't it obvious that history has been laced with the testimonies of certain men and certain women who've had the filling of the Spirit of God, and they were unique? They were different than the rest of the body of Christ. There's something different about those men. There's something different about those women. Especially when you go into the great awakenings of America in the 1700s, 1800s, and even the 1900s, and some of us saw the tail end of some of those revivals in the 60s and the 70s, and even trickled into the 80s a little bit, and those men that just had the power of God on. And how there was no explanation for it. They didn't preach anything more profound than anyone else. They didn't teach. There were ladies who prayed and got things from God, lady missionaries that were used by God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and there was just something unique about them. They had the same Holy Spirit in them that we have. They just had a greater portion measured out to them of his power. I believe because they sanctified themselves and they focused on purity and holiness, and God gave them power. You read some of the things about Charles Finney and Billy Sunday and Bill Rice and John Rice and Moody and Spurgeon and the Welsh revival over there, a bunch of teenagers that just got right with God and started praying. And you read about 100,000 people being added to the body of Christ in Wales in 2 weeks. That's 14 days. And it's because teenagers and young adults in their 20s got so right with God, so pure with God, so serious with God. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they said, "We don't want to live a life where we don't see the manifestation of the Spirit of God in our days." And they prayed for a great measure and supply of the Spirit. And they received it. Boy, we get to stand alongside of those people in heaven someday. And boy, they're going to tell stories of just what God the Holy Spirit did in those revivals and the Great Awakenings, the three Great Awakenings of America, just where people just got so right with God that a special anointing and portion was poured out. There's a biblical basis for that. Number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit is sometimes a one-time event, an Elizabeth thing, a Zacharias thing, a King Saul in the Old Testament thing, a Pentecost Day thing, where to bring about God's plan and purpose, the Holy Spirit just comes upon a person and takes them over, and maybe a situation you're going to be in someday where you're going to say the right thing. You're going to answer the questions. You're going to walk away saying, "How did that happen?" Number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit is often portrayed as a measure or supply of the Spirit's power coming in greater proportion upon an individual or upon a church. Just think of the churches, and there were some unique churches in the New Testament. We don't even know their names. But it says in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." I mean, there was just a unique ministry of the Holy Ghost among those churches. A measure of supply. And then last of all tonight, the filling of the Holy Ghost is sometimes manifested in the Bible as the Holy Spirit getting more of us. The Holy Spirit getting more of us. And that's where that statement we say sometimes is at least half true. Where sometimes you've heard people say, we'll probably hear other preachers say this and so on and so forth. No, don't get down on them. You know, we all parrot things sometimes that we've heard that maybe not be completely true. But there is some truth in it when people say the filling of the Spirit is not us getting more of the Holy Ghost, it's us, it's the Holy Ghost getting more of us. And that is true, that second part. But I've showed you under point two, the first part, I think there is such a thing as having a greater portion of the Spirit of God poured out on you than on the average Christian. And I think it's something you should pursue as a boy or a girl, teenager, adult, doesn't matter who you are, senior citizen, I think you should want to have the greatest manifestation and filling of the Spirit that you've ever had in your life. I think all of us should want that. And we should say, I don't care about the other members of Faith Bible Baptist Church and where they want to stay put. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care about the other members of my family. I don't mean to agitate them or irritate them, but I don't want to sit here and watch this all night or do this and so on and so forth or listen to this music all day. I want to just be sanctified, get set apart with God. I'm no better than them. I just want some time in my life to have a greater measure, supply of the Spirit of God than I've ever had before. But third of all, I think the Holy Spirit is, in fact, a third biblical illustration of what it is Him getting more of us. Where He does get more of us and fills us. I want to just try to illustrate this using the dry erase board, so just give me a second while I set this thing up here. I'll come down there. And I'm just going to kind of talk my way through this because we do have people, and thank the Lord for them, there's people in different states and cities that listen to our messages on the internet. They're not going to see what you're going to see here. But what I have here on this dry erase board is a picture called a schematic. It's not a very good one. But this is what's called a schematic, and this is the schematic of a house. I know most houses don't look like this, but I have put this up here just to be an illustration. You know, the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the house. The temple is a house. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." Here's the front door. The front door is open when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in. Comes into the person's life, and notice where they're walking into. The Holy Spirit is actually the person of the Trinity that comes in and lives inside of us. I know we asked Jesus to come in our hearts and all that stuff, but God, Jesus said the night before he was crucified, he said, "My Father and I will come and abide in you." He said, "We're going to do it in the person of the Holy Spirit." Now, this is what we call here, this is just a hallway. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He comes in the front door, and there He is in the hallway. And we've got ourselves here about, what, 12 different rooms, 11 different rooms. And I'm just going to try to illustrate some things, and I think you'll get the point. I want you to notice all these rooms have doors on them that are closed. This is how you draw a door on a schematic. And actually, you draw it like this if you were an architectural drawer. That's how you would draw a door. But anyway, it's just all these rooms are closed. The Holy Spirit comes in and He wants to fill us. And I believe this third point is that He wants to get more of us. And so some of these rooms over here, we'll call this room of our life right here our thought life. And we'll mark up some of these other rooms here. We'll call this one our free time. This is the big one here. This is the real hard one to get into. It's called the heart. Here's our money, our finances. And here's our family life. And over here we've got our body, our physical body. This we'll call our music life. Everybody has a life with music. Everybody has a relationship with music. This one we're going to call our relationships. And over here we're going to call this room our emotions. This is our spirit. This one here is a difficult one to get into for the Holy Spirit. This is called our entertainment. A lot of people don't want them near that one. Here's our Christian service. And you could come up with other doors. You could come up with other rooms. You could come up with other areas where the Holy Spirit wants to come in and take control. We are supposed to yield ourselves and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Now, He didn't just come into us because He wanted somewhere to hang around. I've been through that so many times here. You get the point? He didn't just want to walk in the hallway and say, I just needed somewhere to live. Again, He'd choose anywhere else He could, if He could, besides the human body, because the human body is the filthiest place there is in all of God's creation. He came in to help us. He came in to help us. But He can't help us until we yield and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. So one by one, He comes in and He starts knocking on these doors of our life and tries to sanctify us. He tries to make us more holy step by step. He doesn't do this all in one day. I mean, there's times where somebody might be saved. Next month will be 40 years from me, and there's still, I would honestly say, there's probably still areas of my life where I really don't know if I want Him in complete control of that. I just, you know, there's some really personal things we want to hold on to. Really personal things. So I don't care where we start here. He wants to get into our emotions. He wants to control that room. Boy, if He doesn't, that'll control us. There's a lot of people with a lot of struggles over here who could have the help of the Holy Spirit. Some are struggling with anger. Some are struggling with lust and pride and hatred and jealousy and envy. Some are very strong in their spirit. They're just stubborn. Some people are just stubborn. What's that an indication of? They haven't opened up that part of their life to the Holy Ghost. The filling of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Ghost gets more of you. And maybe there's eventually a time where somebody says, Holy Spirit, I need you to help rule my spirit. I need you to help me with my emotions. I can't control my depression. I can't control my anger. I can't control my lust. I can't control this stubbornness. This stubbornness has just about ruined everything in my life so far. I need you to help me. This hard head, this hard heart of mine, you got to help me with this. And so a person opens up that area of their life and says, Holy Spirit, help me. And God, the Holy Spirit comes in with His love, joy, peace, His long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those wonderful things, and begins to heal a person emotionally and begins to control and begins to rule and begins to deliver a person from some very hard things. Well, he'd like to help us in every area, and so He comes over here. And now He's standing at the door of our entertainment life, which we have too much of in America. We're about entertained to death in this country. Just about dead. Just about killed all spirituality in our country by the entertainment that we have. You know, there's actually people that live on this earth and survive who have no entertainment. None. They do all right. They make it. We're entertained to death. We're addicted. Here's an addiction area. Here's an addiction, and somebody's got to go to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, I'd like to come in and set you free from that addiction. set you free from that addiction. Oh, I love to see this in people where people say, you know, and some of these things are not wrong, but God deliver me from my hunting addiction. God deliver me from my fishing addiction. God deliver me from my football addiction. God, and the next thing you know, those things mean nothing to them. And they just want to know the Lord. And I don't think there's any sin with going out hunting, once in a while fishing, golfing, something like that. And I don't know if there's any good movies left. But we let him come in there and take care. In fact, one preacher, I think I shared this with you, one preacher said, you know, we're the cinema directors for the Holy Ghost. We're the cinema directors. What we see through the eyes is what he sees. This is where it gets really quiet. Especially when you start talking about things like pornography right here. It gets real quiet in every church you're ever in. I was listening, I was at a meeting, a Presbyterian preacher was preaching recently, and he talked about one of their colleges, and he said how 100% of the male students in that college admitted visiting pornographic sites on the internet, and 87% of the women in that college admitted visiting pornographic sites. How in the world are we ever going to have a revival? I don't know what kind of Presbyterian colleges they have or anything. It don't sound very good. I don't know if ours are any better. We need to get the Holy Ghost in there. So we open that door up, and now he has more of us. We're being filled with the Spirit. Here's our service over here, and the Holy Ghost now wants to come over here and says, you know, I'd really like to help you in your service. I really appreciate the fact that you're teaching Sunday school, you're working with girls, you're going to the prison, you're going to the nursing home, you're running a bus, you're working in the children's church and everything. That's a wonderful thing you're doing, but you're toiling in the flesh. I'd like to take over that ministry and maybe just blow up your plans some Sunday and take over the class and really help these girls, really help these boys. Really help this youth, really build this class up. And so a person finally says, okay, I'm going to open the door to the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, help me with my Christian service. I don't want to toil along in the flesh and just maintain my ministry. I'd like to build it with the help of God. I think the Holy Spirit can do better for our service than we can do. I think he'll accomplish more. He wants to get in our family here. He says, you know, I see your family doing well. You say you're a Christian family, but I'd like to kind of get in on your devotions, maybe your prayer life. I think I can help you with your marriage. And boy, I'll tell you, it was a long time ago when Art Cole began praying prayers and saying, Holy Spirit, I don't know what my wife needs today. Can't figure her out, but you know what she needs. Would you help me? You think he'd help you? Oh, no, he wouldn't help. Why wouldn't he help you with marriage? A wife could say, I don't understand my husband. I don't know what he needs. I don't know how to deal with him, but Holy Spirit, would you help me with this? Did you ever get frustrated as a parent raising your children, maybe just even little 1, 2-year-old, saying, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do here. Would you show me what to do, or with a youth or a teenager? How to treat them? Well, I think if we got the Holy Spirit in our family lives, we'd have some better family lives. Now, here's one some are struggling with. Money. He says, you know, I'd like to come in and be your financial director. I know what you should do. Because this area is often a mess, especially among Americans who have so much. And the Holy Spirit wants to come along there, and he says, I'd like to be your financial director. And I think we're going to just start, we're going to get things budgeted up, get them on paper. We're going to tithe, we're going to start giving offerings, we're going to start helping missions so that a conduit of blessings can start flowing into your life from God. And when you get your priorities right here financing, start thinking about God, start thinking about his work, start thinking about others. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I'm going to kind of clear up your mind so you start thinking right. Your thoughts will be established. I'm going to give you a clear mind to get out of this mess you're in. Now here's the one nobody wants to open the door to. Well, I shouldn't say that. Some have. But the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. This room. Closed door. We got our idols in our hearts, don't we? You know, the Bible says, let Christ dwell in your hearts richly by faith. See, a lot of times we say salvation is asking Jesus to come into your heart. There's no such thing in the Bible. It's the believer that is told, let Christ dwell in your hearts richly by faith. It's the believer. Salvation is trusting Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into your body at salvation. The body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. But that heart thing, man. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, this is the most messed up room in your life. I'd sure like to get into that thing and straighten that out. Because out of it are the issues of life. Boy, if you get the rare man or the rare woman who lets the Holy Spirit in there, and then we say that person's gotten their heart right with God. And the rest of these here, you get the picture. He comes and slowly but slowly he tries to sanctify us. He knocks on the door of every single room in our life, our body. You know, you need to make some changes with your body, how you eat. You need to get up off these drugs. You need to give up the cigarettes. You got to quit drinking alcohol. I want to change the way you dress. I want you to be a good example to the world, be a good Christian. And boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people keep that thing slammed shut. You're not taking that part of my life. My appearance means everything to me. But he wants to come in. He wants to take care of our bodies, and he'll change, you know, he'll change the way we take care of ourselves. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to open that up. Music's a big issue with some people today, especially in the body of Christ. They love their music. They love their fleshly music. They love it in the churches nowadays. Brings the crowds in. Make them feel good for another Sunday. They come back next week, get their next fix. That's not the purpose of music. Music is so we can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts to God. It's supposed to edify the saint and supposed to be a blessing to God. It's not about us. Most people, music's about them. Our relationships. Talk to a lot of young people today and say, hey, why don't you give up that dating nonsense? Whoa. You kidding me? You can trust the Holy Spirit with this area of your life. You see, I hope this schematic maybe has just brought a little illustration tonight of how, number three, the Holy Ghost, the filling of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit getting more of us. It is Him getting more of us. And I want you, in closing, to examine some areas of your life and just say, have I let the Holy Spirit in that room of my life yet? He's a gentleman. He's not going to barge himself in, but we're going to be the worse for it if we don't let. He's got something better planned for us. And it's so hard for us to believe that by faith. Because some of the stuff we got stashed in them rooms, we really like. He's going to open the window, throw them out in a dumpster. He's going to bring some other things into that area of our life. He's going to just go through and straighten up every room and just fill every room. And when the Holy Ghost has access to all of our being, then we're filled with the Spirit. So the filling of the Spirit is portrayed three ways in Scripture. Sometimes, number one, it's a one-time event that's a highlight in a person's life that often brings about a particular event in God's plan and God's work. Thank God for those experiences, but don't rest on those the rest of your life. Don't rest on those. Maybe you went on a missions trip and it was glorious how God used you. Wonderful. All right, wonderful, but let's move on now. What can God do with me yet tonight or tomorrow? The filling of the Spirit is, number two, a special measure and supply a greater portion of his power than we've ever had before. And then number three, it's the Holy Ghost getting more of us. Just area by area by area of our life, we yield it to him. I remember my love for rock music. You know, I finally decided to trash all those just thousands of dollars of albums. I know you kids don't know what that means. But just trashed them, got rid of them, threw them in the garbage truck, watched them, crush them. I didn't want to give them away. Somebody said, no, I want to sell those. You're gonna make. I want to contaminate somebody else. You know, if I was on drugs as a Christian, I wanted to get off of them. And I said, man, I got a lot of pot here. I think I'll sell it to someone else. Well, no, you wouldn't do that. Same thing, music contaminates a person's soul. So for a short season, I said, well, I'll go to Christian rock. That was really coming out, you know. I was starting to come out in the 80s, early 80s and stuff. Yeah, I'll listen to Christian rock. I just didn't want the Holy Ghost in that area of my life. And finally, I opened the door and said, Holy Spirit, you guide me in this matter of music. And I've loved music ever since. It's a blessing. God's music. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, they'll keep you satisfied, they'll keep you crying, they'll move your heart, they'll do good for your soul the rest of your life. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want you to think about these three portrayals of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Can you maybe come to this altar and thank God for times the Holy Ghost has moved you in the past as a man or a woman? It was wonderful. It was glorious. But let's not just rest on those. Number two, it's a measure of supply of greater portion of power. Are you here tonight and you'd say, boy, I need more power. I've just felt powerless. I need the power of God. And I just want to ask God to give me more power through His Holy Ghost. Or finally, and here's the hard part, as you look at the schematic of your life, the house God dwells in, the temple, and all the rooms in your innermost being, can you say, I really yielded them all to the Holy Ghost? Or can you say, you know, I've got some rooms, I just don't want them in. Maybe you could come tonight and pray and just say, Holy Spirit, I don't really want you in this room, but make me to become willing. As the pianos play song silently here, if you want to just lift from your chair and step out to now and come and pray.